Hey everybody, this is Jenny Jam from Fret Sisters, reminding you to hit that follow button up on top. And follow us on social media at Fret Sisters on IG and at Fret Sisters on Facebook. We got a lot of good interviews and topics coming up. So do that. Peace.
Love our Fret Tea Talk? Make sure you follow us for our latest episode. And all you need is your favorite drink and grab a seat, because our Fret Tea Talks will never miss a beat.
Hello all, thank you for joining us for another episode of Between Frets, a space where musicians meet and discuss all things music, and I am your host, Nicole Rose. We have a phenomenal guest for you today. I was hoping against hope they would say yes, and they did. This person is a keyboardist for Loi Vei. They also have an album out with Tonia, I believe is the name, and that album is great. I just listened to that today and just had to take a listen because I love both these artists. So for this show, we have Heather Rivas. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing great. Again, I thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You are very welcome. I saw your video where you were just like beasting through Whitney Houston, I'm Your Baby Tonight. And I was just like, yes, yes. So where are you in the world? You're in California?
Yeah, I just got back to California today and I have a day off in San Diego, but I'm wrapping up a tour with an artist named Loi Vei, and we have a pit stop today, so that's where I'm at.
Oh, thank you for fitting us in. Where were you touring?
We took a bus in, we're on a tour bus, and we pulled in from Phoenix last night, and so we just got to San Diego today, and then tomorrow we'll play San Diego.
Oh, so you're dead smack in the middle of a tour.
yeah, we're at the end though, so yeah, it's great.
Oh, wow, that is awesome. So now that you have a brief break, I don't want to keep you too long. You play keys, which your page is great. And I just love how you just like lose yourself in the music. So could you tell us how you started?
Yeah, I mean, my mom put me in piano lessons. I actually wasn't a huge fan of piano lessons growing up. But she was really kind of like, you got to stick through it, you know, through high school because I don't want you to be one of those kids that was like, I let you quit playing piano. So it kind of just ended up becoming the instrument I played, and I really loved playing music, and so it just kind of became the instrument in which to, you know, find a path in music. And so I started when I was like 5 or 6 and went to an arts high school, and then went to Berklee College of Music in Boston, and then I moved back home to LA after college and kind of just continued the journey.
Oh wow, Berklee. So I know you're like, you could probably read music in the dark from a mile away, right?
I can do a bit of reading, but I'm not like a heavy, you know, heavy reader. I definitely am more by ear, so yeah.
Oh, okay. So was anyone else in your family into music? That's how you got involved?
Yeah, I mean, nobody in my family did music professionally, but they're definitely music appreciators and lovers of music. It was a bit of a... My dad wasn't too stoked on me initially going to music school, you know, for college, but he kind of had his doubts and stuff, but eventually kind of, you know, they've always been supportive of that, I think once they kind of saw that I found my path, you know, they've been pretty supportive. So but yeah, nobody in my family does music or like, you know, anything artistically, professionally.
Oh, really? So normally when someone does that, it just comes, it's like a family thing. So you just found your calling very early and just stuck with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what kind of music sort of called you at first? What were you listening to at like 5, 10, you know, 12?
Yeah, I think, well, as a little kid, I got my dad's CDs, and a lot of that was like, whatever greatest hits CDs he had. So he had, you know, but he had like Michael Jackson's like Thriller Deluxe on a CD, and then he had Elton John, and then, you know, Greatest Hits, and a couple CDs of that. And honestly, my first CD I owned was Grease, the musical soundtrack. So I was like really into Grease as a kid. And that's awesome. Yeah, and so I started with that, but then I think, you know, and I loved the Beatles growing up, and then I kind of, when I got into high school, is when I really started listening to like jazz and pursuing jazz and like learning that craft. And then after that, I just kind of kept going like a more pop direction.
Okay, so yeah. You said musicals, so it's pretty the full gamut, full spectrum. So when did it finally hit you that like, okay, I have an ear for this, I can sort of listen and pick it up? Was that very young?
No, I'll say I think I had to kind of work for the talent.
Okay.
I don't think it came. I mean, I think, you know, my mom might say she was like, you were always like kicking your leg or like doing some sort of thumping a rhythm. And my dad was like, yeah, you had this like crazy leg. So I don't know. They you know, they like to claim that I had some rhythmic element going on. But I think it wasn't until I kind of went to high school where it was like, I was kind of thrown in the deep end in this like arts high school jazz program. And really there is where I had my, you know, my butt handed to me.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. Like it's sink or swim out here. And so I had no other choice but to just like get better and transcribe music. So
yeah. When you can work other musicians, that's when you see, I'm not as good as I thought I was, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of how it was.
Yeah. So you were in the jazz. See, unfortunately, in my high school, well, I'm a lot older than you, but mine didn't have a jazz program. You had the band or you had classical. That's pretty much it. So were you playing piano in that band, or did you have another instrument?
I was playing piano. Yeah. Like that was like the school had, it was a public school, but it was really incredible because it was like it had auditions. So we, you know, I auditioned for like the jazz piano, like major in the high school.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. So then I kind of got catapulted kind of into that, like, okay, I'm one of like maybe like 7 or 10 jazz piano players in this jazz program. And it was very competitive kind of. So yeah, that's what I mean by it was like a very sink or swim environment.
For sure. So you said later you got in around high school, you got into jazz and pop. What was that song or that artist or that made you say, okay, maybe jazz is maybe what I want to lean into?
Yeah, I think honestly, Herbie Hancock, as you know, was one of my favorite pianists and artists. And I think I admired him so much because he really went through like a wide range of genres within jazz, but he kind of kept breaking barriers as a musician. And I think that's always what I wanted to do, was kind of like, okay, like I can learn the tradition, you know, but then there's this whole other world of pop that I wanted to enter. And I felt like Herbie Hancock was kind of my jumping point and my like base starting inspiration.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. You're going to pick someone. Herbie's a good one to choose.
Yeah.
And I want to jump back a little bit because we have so many musicians, young, old, in between, who think that you have to be born with a natural, perfect ear, perfect pitch. You just come out of the womb with piano or flute in your hand. You know what I mean? So sort of tell them, like, not everyone has. Sometimes you have to work for it. And do you feel that was good for you to have to work for it?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And I think it's totally like, yeah, so, you know, some people do have that luck of coming out of the womb. But no, I think like I really had to work for it. And I still don't feel like I'm like, you know, the kid with the perfect pitch or the kid that like came out the womb naturally just like good at that, at music. I think it was a process, and I think it was so worth it because I think when you're more likely to constantly invite new challenges, you know, as a musician and tackle new challenges for yourself when everything was always kind of a challenge.
Sure.
You know, So it's very, I think it's super rewarding in that way.
Oh, it definitely is. When you went from performing arts school to Berklee, was that another beast altogether?
You know, it wasn't another beast, but very in a different way. I think, you know, honestly, my high school was, the program was just so intense that when I got to Berklee, it didn't feel as intense as I thought it was going to be. So I kind of stopped leaning into jazz at Berklee, and I kind of went more into the pop realm, and that's where I kind of started challenging myself, was like learning more kind of like, just like, yeah, like more playing with people that wanted to do other music. And I kind of dove into just different genres a lot, like Latin music and stuff like that. And so I felt like it was a time to kind of break free of, like, I think this really ingrained jazz tradition that I had just come from. So it was a whole new beast for sure, but it didn't feel as like intense for some reason.
Oh yeah, it seems like you went to the same school of high school, so.
Right, yeah.
Did you get to Berklee and find, or were you surprised to find that you enjoyed other types of music more?
I definitely wasn't surprised, but I was just so excited to be like playing other music. I think I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna go do the reggae ensemble, I'm gonna go do this funk class, I'm gonna go do this Latin jazz piano course. Like I wasn't surprised that I enjoyed it, because I think I was so excited, you know, to like dive into something else.
When you were over there, I know you met plenty of musicians, and you know, you learned the trade, you learned different things, learned how to work as, you know, an ensemble, which you probably already learned in your high school, quite honestly. But when you left there, were you like a fish thrown in the water? Like, were you like, okay, now what? Or what did you do?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because they say if you graduate Berklee, I think a lot of the people that I looked up to when I was at Berklee didn't graduate because they kind of started going on tours already. So I kind of felt behind. Like, I graduated and then I went straight from graduating, you know, Berklee into a master's program in California, in jazz. And oh, wow. I felt a little lost, to be honest. I think it was kind of like, I was sort of ready to start a music career, like playing for people. All I wanted to do was tour, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like when I went into the master's program, I felt like, you know, it wasn't the right timing, to be honest. And I think I did feel a little bit like I need to be working so hard to be in the scene, and so I was trying to go to school again, but while being in LA and like, you know, trying to go to as many jam sessions as I could and trying to, so I did feel actually, yeah, I did feel kind of like, oh my gosh, like how am I gonna stay relevant, you know, to like the music scene in LA and get hired and stuff. So it definitely felt scary.
So is that where the Instagram came in, to like give yourself some reprieve, or were you doing that before?
Yeah, no, that's definitely like, I started using Instagram and playing keyboard stuff, like, you know, little solos and stuff. I kind of started that, doing that after I graduated from Berklee. So yeah, that first year in LA, that actually is what catapulted me into my first tour, was, you know, this music director found me off of a video that I had posted, and
one
then
video.
They asked me, I don't even know if it exists anymore. It was like in 2018, but you know, there's a keyboardist named Corey Henry.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And Corey Henry did like a challenge, for like pickup jazz or something. And I like did a solo over his song, and he reposted it on his story. And I don't know, maybe I think this music director found me either through that or through hashtags or something. And he just reached out and said, hey, can you audition? Would you be interested in auditioning? So I took a pause and a deference from my master's program to start touring.
Shut up. Well, you got the stamp approval from Corey Henry. You know you're a beast, right?
It was definitely, I definitely was super, it was cool. It was cool to see social media do its thing, and you know.
Were you expecting it? Was that the hope?
Oh, it was the hope, but there were so many people that submitted. I was like, you know, I was like sure that he wasn't even going to see it, or he wasn't going to even acknowledge it, or so I was very like stoked on it.
So was it first tour with him, or was it through him, the tour director, Matt Uther, the music director from another band or another group?
It was another artist.
Okay.
And that artist, like his music director, I think found me through that video, and then he just reached out. Yeah. So it just really was a lot of luck.
So you're like, forget school. Let me go and sign off on this deferment. I'm out of here. I don't know how long I'm going to be back.
Literally, that's what happened. Yeah.
When you were in high school, in college, and doing your master's program, or even when you were younger at 5, when you played your first open C, was your mind, okay, this is it. I want to tour. I want to do my own music. Or was it just like, I just want to enjoy music for me? Was it kind of both?
I think it's both. I think for a long time, it was just so, like, all I had envisioned really was touring.
Mm-hmm.
And also like kind of entering music direction. And okay. That was really my goal, but it felt like such a mystery to me. I didn't know how to get that gig. It kind of happened through keeping in contact with people and honestly just putting myself out there. But no, the vision wasn't entirely clear for me. I think it kind of became clear as the work started coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I wanted, as I started touring more, I realized that I wanted to spend more time home writing my own music and collaborating with friends. And so I think the pandemic gave me the opportunity to start doing that, which I was really grateful for, because I think I realized, oh, you know what? I kind of want to do both.
Yeah. You know?
So, yeah.
I think the pandemic was an eye-opener for a lot of people, and it allowed you to sit back and actually think, okay, what next, you know?
Totally. Yeah, it did that. It really did that. I think I realized, like, oh, you know what? Like, touring is fun. I love it so much, and it's a blessing to be able to do it. But also, hey, you know, I like making my own music, like, just for me, you know? Just to enjoy.
So before the pandemic hit, you were on tour maybe, what, 2-3 years with an artist or different artists before that pandemic happened?
Yeah, I was on tour for 2 years, and then the pandemic hit, and I was about to be on tour again with a new artist, and then that didn't work out, you know? And then, honestly, I had a bit of a rough patch there, as I'm sure a lot of musicians did, but, you know, having to find another way to work was challenging, and really having to sit with your own thoughts and kind of like envision your life.
Yeah.
You know, so it was, I'm not saying anything new. I know a lot of people went through things like that, challenges like that. So I had about a 2-year pause. And then it wasn't till 2021 or 2022 2022 that I got to come back into touring. So it's 2 years that I didn't get to tour. And then 2022, I was fortunate enough to kind of pick back up again.
So during that break, is that where the album or parts of the album with Tonia came together? Was this totally something different?
Totally something different. I have my own album that I just released in August. And
oh, awesome.
Those
What's
songs,
the name?
Catch 22.
Awesome.
Yeah, and so that album I was totally like from the time off I spent like writing songs, and pretty much from 2021 to now 2023 I kind of wrote songs, yeah, with, you know, some with Tony and some just on my own and with some other friends, and then I did this self-produced album in August, which was a culmination of all that music. And then two songs on that album, Tonina and I decided to make acoustic versions of and release this little EP that we just released together like a couple days ago.
Oh, so tell us about Catch 22. How many songs? What was the first single off that album?
The first single was, it was Down My Neck, I think, or Lips. But I think I had like three singles off of it. I'm kind of forgetting right now. It feels like a good. Long time ago now. But
what is time?
Yeah, exactly. Catch 22 was kind of, the title was really about like feeling that I would get in the music industry where, you know, you're in a lot of rooms with people and I, you know, worked for a lot of different artists and just the environment of feeling like, you know, sometimes things are said or done that I didn't personally agree with or, you know, and as it goes. But I think sometimes I didn't feel authentic to myself. And, but then, you know, you feel like, okay, I can't really stir the pot here, or like, when does it feel right to be authentic? And ultimately I'm not, you know, I'm not choosing to be in music to not, you know, why would I be in this line of work if I didn't want to be kind of my authentic self? But then also I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, you know?
I want the gig, you know, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's that whole thing. So I think the album was kind of a culmination of like that idea. It's kind of feels like a catch 22.
I understand that, you know, you're in the business, yeah. You gotta still do business, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and that's another thing for the pandemic, because had that not happened, you might not be able to find your true voice, you know?
Totally.
It was a kind of a blessing for a lot of people, honestly.
I think so. I think it was, it's like been an eye-opener for so many people.
Yeah. So when you were making that album, your own album, the Catch 22 album, so did you do every part? Is that an acoustic album as well?
Partially acoustic and partially like electronic and programmed. But I recorded like all the instruments so I recorded all the instruments except like, you know, drums. I had a friend do, or I programmed my own samples.
So if you want to play a little bit of one of your original songs, or you want to play the CD in the background, whichever, so people can hear it, make them miss like a minute of it if you want.
Sure. I can do a little segment here.
You are listening to a snippet from Heather Rivas' album, Catch 22. Enjoy. Does it ever stop sighing? This feeling that I'm not alive. Will it ever stop sighing? The feeling that I'm not alive.
That is nice.
You came in with the synth, right? Did you?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you? That was you on the vocals as well.
Yes.
Shut up! You sing too?
Yeah, you know, I'm not much of a singer. I started singing during COVID, so I don't really consider myself a like singer, but yes, I'll sing on my own songs for sure.
Okay. Nice. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
And how did you and Tonina hook up? Did you meet her in Berkeley or California? Or?
Yeah, totally. We met while studying abroad in the Berkeley, like, Valencia, Spain program. and we were just jamming with each other. And she's super funny. And, like, you know, we just jammed once. And then she kind of was like, you know, her last name is Saputo and mine's Rivas. And she just texted me one day when we were at school, and she was like, I know our band name. And I was like, oh, okay, what is it? And she said, it's Riva Saputo. And I was like, I didn't know we were in a band, but cool. So we had a band back in college, and that was really fun. And that was kind of like our baby together. And now, you know, she's like, she really has her own artist project now, and I have my own artist project. And so this was really fun to do, because, like, it's been years, like, you know, it's been almost, well, I don't know how many years since we graduated, a while, but it's like nice to kind of come back and do music together as kind of independent people, you know? So,
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And if I remember correctly, you have a few endorsements as well. Did all that come from the gigs? Did they just come from your IG page in general?
It came from the gigs. The endorsement for Nord Keyboards came from when I was on my first touring gig with this artist, Jacob Banks. And, you know, honestly, it's funny how it came about, but my Nord that I had that was used, I bought it used, but on tour, it totally like stopped working. And I needed a new keyboard, and the music director said, well, let's see if we can, you know, work something out with Nord. And it turned out that they were like, you know, with the representation of the artist that I was playing with, they were kind of like, oh, okay, well, we can work out, let's do an artist deal. And I was like, okay. And so it really just worked out like that. And I got a new keyboard on that tour. I still have that keyboard now. So it happened through being on tour.
Oh, that is great. Telling you, your story, I know it's a lot of work for you, and I know it's a lot of hard work, put in time, maybe tears, biting, cussing, but from here, from five to performing arts school to I was about to say Juilliard, from to Berkeley, your high school was Juilliard.
right.
So, and all that, and now on tour, how did you now get with, I don't want to say her name more, is it Loive?
It's Leve.
Leve. How did that happen?
Well, it happened through just like the music directors who were taking on her project for this current tour that she's doing, they reached out to me and asked me to come in and hop in and run. I also will run like backing tracks for artists and stuff. So it was kind of like, you know, Leve was looking for, because Leve's, you know, music, it's influenced from classical and jazz, but it's a pop gig too. And I think the challenge on that front was, how are we going to find, you know, musicians to fill her band that know how to be on tour? Like, you know, a lot of musicians that are touring are pop musicians but don't necessarily play jazz. And so that was kind of the challenge, and so it worked out with me where it was like, okay, I kind of help with the tracks, but I also have this, a lot of touring experience, which is came in handy, you know. But then it was like, okay, hey, I am jazz, you know, quote, jazz trained. So it worked out, and I sent in some, you know, old like videos of me playing, and then I was kind of just thrown in, and it's been great.
Yeah, like I say, I love jazz, and I just happened to come across her maybe a month or two ago, and if I'm correct, she like blew up out of nowhere. It seems like she was doing, she's like the hottest jazz ticket to be on.
It feels like it's propelling like this train, you know. It just feels like it's propelling and propelling. I didn't initially know that much about her, and she kind of, you know, got recognized by, she was playing covers of jazz standards or certain songs and like putting it on TikTok and YouTube, to my understanding, during the pandemic. And so then things kind of just started moving for her, and then now it really feels like, whoa. This is, you know, she's just hitting numbers that no jazz, you know, artist has ever done. And right, literally, you know. And she's incredible because she's an accomplished like pianist, vocalist, cellist, and guitarist. And it's just like, you know, I guess you could say she's a hot ticket. I mean, she's just like, she really is so talented, so deserving of all of the praise coming her way. But it really does, yes, it feels like a rocket ship, you know. It's like really fun to be a part of to be a part of her journey right now.
So what is it like for you as someone who pretty much grew up playing jazz to look out in the audience and see all of these people 15 and up singing Misty?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God, it's incredible. I think it being a part of the shows has really made me feel like very warm in my heart because that's so special to see kids singing like a standard that like, it's funny, Misty is like Leve's like favorite standard, or one of her favorite standards. It's also one of my favorite standards. And so it's really cool. I didn't really ever think I would see that. I feel like I'm witnessing a phenomenon as it's happening, you know?
Yeah, as a jazz lover, it's like, you know, I play jazz. You're like, oh, like, oh, what's the encore? What?
Right, yeah.
It's like, no Cardi B. It's like, no. But I love Cardi B anyway. So now that you're on, you say the tour's almost over. So when the tour's over, are you going back to your own music, or are you just going to take, I need a break, I need a rest, I'm putting the piano away in my closet?
Yeah, you know, I am going on a really short little tour, like about 5 days after this one ends in a week, right after Thanksgiving. So I'll be wrapping up my year in December, like mid-December, but I will definitely in mid-December be ready to kind of just put away the keyboard and take whatever time and space I need. And then I think I'll start creating again my own music. Because I feel like that's what's kind of nice about going on tour, is that you can't really create on the road. It's not easy. And it's kind of nearly impossible. So I think I'm like very excited to have that time to myself to just like write music again.
That's great. And before we end, I just want to say to the younger musicians who now, like, it's a totally different, because I don't know how young you are, but I'm sure you're very young, how different the landscape is for music now. Like you say, your video blew up, and that's how you got the first gig. Her video blew up over the pandemic. Now she's doing, you know, Michael Jackson numbers for jazz, you know, so.
Right, yeah.
How do you think, for musicians coming up young, old, again, and in between, do you think that's still a lane for people to get noticed and to get their music out there via social media?
Yeah, I think it's such a hard question to answer because I got lucky from it. But, you know, it's it feels like Instagram has been my, like, almost like a replacement for, like, what a website would be at this point, you know? And I think for artists that are younger than I am, I'm like a cusp baby, where I'm not Gen Z, but I'm not like, but I'm kind of a millennial, you know? I think I don't really like TikTok isn't where I'm able to like utilize an audience. I haven't really found that to be my thing yet. Right, exactly. Like, but to some people that is. And so I think for every generation, it's probably going to be something new. And I think every generation should take advantage of it. Absolutely. I think it's a tool and you should use it. But I also think like it's okay if you don't want to. I totally understand that feeling, you know, because I don't think it's like I think it's good to have a presence, but I wouldn't put a ton of emphasis on it just because like for your own sanity and just staying true to oneself and all that, because it can be kind of consuming, you know?
Oh, for sure. And breaks are needed. And when you depend on that totally as your way to quote unquote get in, it becomes very draining because then you're watching everyone else. You're not paying attention to what your heart wants to take you, you know?
Exactly. So yeah, like I think it's a great tool, but it's not everything. And I think it's there if you want to tap into it, but it's also not like you don't have to force yourself.
Absolutely. Well, Heather, I would again like to thank you for joining me. And everyone, please go to their page and just scroll, listen. get Catch 22, get everything they put out. Amazing artist. Would you tell everyone how to get in touch with you, how to contact you, how to listen to your music, where to find it?
Oh, yes. So if you just search Heather Rivas on Spotify or Apple Music or anything like that, and I'll show up. And on Instagram, I am at Heatherly Father.
I love it. Yeah. Well, again, thank you for coming. I really appreciate that. And this is Nicole Rose, and this was Between Frets. Later.
Thank you.
Hey, Jenny Jam here. Thanks for tuning in to our latest episode of Between Frets. Keep checking back. We'll have more episodes loaded each week for your listening enjoyment. Peace and love.